Wise Words program Patriots talk across the country.
Remember in the summer when we talked about Cam Newton and I said to you something about he throws with his genitalia pointing at the players? You thought that was a little bit off color. Now do you see what I'm talking about?
Get up to date on the latest Patriot storylines with Tom E. Curran.
So why is he so damn special that we have to call him Tom E. Curran?
Now on Dale and Keith.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Nick Fitzy Stevens in the house with us, and joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is NBC Sports Boston Patriots reporter Tom E. Curran. Tom is brought to you by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. Hey, Tom, how are you?
What's up?
Exactly.
How you doing, man?
Doing all right,
wow.
Thanks.
Wow. Going to the Wayback Machine for that one.
Yeah, I did.
Rich said earlier in the program that he doesn't think there is anything Cam Newton could do to play himself out of the starting quarterback position for the Patriots this season. Do you agree?
No. I think while they're in contention, that remains the fact. But if the team sinks to 5-8, and he continues to be at times a turnover machine, I think he could conceivably play himself out of the position. But I do agree with Rich that as long as there is a path, he remains the guy.
Mm. Now, Tom, you ran a poll yesterday talking about the quarterback situation. Could they play both quarterbacks potentially, which we've talked about on the show? I'm open to it because I think when your quarterback is not great and you're kind of unsure about both of them, it's not bad. Your four options were, again, this is should they play Cam and Stidham. And the options were, are you out of your mind, which won the poll at 52.2%. Which is also what Keyshawn Johnson basically said to us yesterday when we asked him a similar question. At 30% was interesting, won't happen. At 11.5% was start Stidham. And then at 6.3%, which is what I voted for, makes perfect sense. So where do you come down on this?
That's what I voted for too.
Makes perfect sense to me. Yeah. And the reason it makes perfect sense is if the Patriots had a landlocked quarterback and an unbelievable athlete on the sideline. Say they drafted Jalen Hurts and Tom Brady was still here and you knew Brady was towards the end and Josh convinced Brady, you know, let's just get him in there and run a little bit of wildcat here and there. No offense to you, but we got to see what we got. Everyone would think that's a great idea. The flip is present here. And I know we can look at Cam's completion percentages and say, but, you know, he does throw the ball capably at times. But it's the short stuff, isn't it? It's the simple throws that he's not executing to the sidelines. He's wild. And I'm not saying Stidham's a better or even a good quarterback, but he would be a better and more consistent thrower, I think, than Cam Newton would be. So why not give him a controlled set of plays to at least make a defensive coordinator have to deal with preparing for Stidham to throw the ball as well? Plus, you get a look at him.
Yeah, it's a twofer. I've been saying that the Chris Leak Tim Tebow plan could work in effect for the Patriots right now, given Cam's limitations and given the creativity that Josh puts on display. Mm-hmm. And really, I mean, nobody is working harder. I can't imagine anyone has put in more hours than McDaniels this year trying to squeeze blood from a stone with this Patriots offense, Tom. But what do you think it is that continues to make Belichick go back to Cam and say that he's his guy? Is it the thing that Rich and I keep thinking it is, which is he's the best team leader, he's got the most magnetism, mm-hmm. and he makes the whole team from defense to special teams respond to him the most, whereas Stidham just couldn't?
I think there's a lot of that, and I also think that he must look at the roster that he has developed, drafted, acquired, and said, what's Stidham going to do? I mean, at least Cam can run. And this surprised me, guys, to realize that not just 9 touchdowns Cam Newton's run for, which argues against the 4 touchdowns and 9 picks that he's thrown. He's run for 9. He's also picked up 39 first downs on the ground. Hmm. So think of all those times we've said, well, why are they not, you know, they run read option with James White and hand it off and he gets blasted, or they run the option with, they run a toss to Rex Burkhead and he gets destroyed. I can see why people do get pissed, and I sometimes will go on Twitter and say, well, you know, they're loaded up for him. Even if they are loaded up for him, he still plows through everybody. So I think that's probably the upside that we don't concentrate on enough. We know that he can run, but, God, if it's 3rd and 3, he's almost as good as Brady throwing to Edelman.
We played the theoretical game last hour, and I'm curious to get your take on this. If in the 2020 draft, Bill Belichick was sitting there in the first round and Justin Herbert was available, would he have taken him?
Yeah, I think that they would have. I do.
And that's the reason I ask is Fitzy's convinced no matter where they pick in the first round, he's not taking a quarterback anyway.
Nope.
Well, the reasons there are more qualifiers to the guys this year, I think. Trey Lance barely playing this year at North Dakota State after a 28 touchdown, zero pick year last year. Justin Fields, the kid at BYU whose name's escaped me. I'm sure Rich, it's going to pop right
Wilson.
Out of his mouth. Thank you. Yep. There's more to debate with them. I think the Herbert was a really good fit. Herbert's almost like Stidham in terms of, well, he had a bad final year in college relative to what you expected, but you could still see it. Much better than Stidham, obviously. But
Yeah.
I think that they would have made that play, Dale.
What do you think, Tom, of this Chargers team from afar? Because to me, the wins haven't added up, but they have such a bright future because of Herbert, because of a couple playmakers on defense. Keenan Allen's very much in his prime. And it seems like they're in a pretty good spot. And again, if you usually face a team week 12 that's 3-8, you're like, that's a win. But that's a dangerous team on the other side. And now, obviously, they need to learn how to close. They have some coaching issues that they probably need to figure out. But it's a team that's kind of easy to like.
Yeah, it's easy to like defensively. Obviously, the way the Bosa plays is off the chart. Holy crap, it's funny. As you were saying, Keenan Allen is still in his prime. I Googled him real quick. He's still only 28?
Yeah.
It feels like he's been playing forever.
Yeah. Yep.
Pretty good. So Bosa was an absolute one-man wrecking crew last week, but you're right. It's the coaching. It's the decision-making. The end of the game was a disaster for them last week. So all the elements are in place for a coach, whether that be Eric Bieniemy, mm-hmm. whether that be Josh McDaniels, whether that be Brady, Joe Brady. Those are all going to be guys who will be options for Anthony Lynn, because I can't imagine Anthony Lynn is going to continue to be the head coach there. He was on the ropes last year, and this year has been tied to poor coaching. But the issue with them is they play that cover three defense under Gus Bradley. So we've seen what the Patriots with Tom Brady can do to the cover three. They shred it by throwing short. Cam can't throw short.
Yeah.
Perfect week for Stidham, guys. Perfect week for Stid Rocks.
Wow, Stid Rocks.
I don't want to call him Stid Rocks anymore. That just popped up.
I don't. You know what? I don't mind it. I'll get that going. Stid Rocks.
Stidinsky.
Sure.
We're talking to, of course, the man they call Stid Vicious. That's Tom E. Kern from NBC Sports Boston on the Harbor One Hot. What? I thought of it. It was pretty good.
No, it's good. It is good.
Thank you.
Stid Vicious.
Appreciate that.
Stid and Nancy.
Yeah, exactly. So, Tom, I just saw that Dalton Keene and Devin Asiasi were both out there at practice this week. They're off the IR. Now, I'm as excited as you are
God.
To see.
They'll be flinging to the tight ends now, won't they?
I was just going to say, I'm as excited as everyone else to see them get zero targets this week. it truly is Christmas if they get none. So are they going to make this trip? Are they going to actually get involved in this offense? Is this the only way home for Cam to finally get back to being productive, throwing the ball?
I don't know if either of those guys can actually unseat Ryan Izzo. Isn't that disturbing?
Wow. Yes.
I mean,
it is.
I had a beverage
nothing,
right now. I
Izzo doesn't do anything in particular that offends you other than just being subpar every week. So are you going to bring these? And what I'm saying is these guys coming off IR are not going to probably have the opportunity to earn their way ahead of Ryan Izzo, whatever Ryan Izzo does during the week to make himself an NFL starter for the Patriots. So I wouldn't think that this will be the week that these guys will be the second coming of the 2011 Patriots tight end brigade, but I mean, something has to happen there, and it has to happen at the wide receiver position with N'Keal Harry. I mean, N'Keal Harry, to me, has actually become a sympathetic figure.
Do you actually feel badly for being so
Rich
critical?
Does. Rich feels so bad right now.
I don't feel badly for being critical, but I think, and Dale, you can appreciate this too, because you're getting up there in age.
How?
I have a kid who's 22. And if poor Danny Curran was playing football in the NFL and sucking every week and just not really in his first post-college job, I'd feel terrible for him. So that it's weird. Maybe one day you guys will get to this point and you're like, oh, sucks for him. It's just terrible. This is not working.
Kind of sucks for the team more. I care.
I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing is, you know what he is now. So it's just you're shoveling against the tide.
Now, is this there down the road, Tom, where he gets like the Duke Dawson, Cyrus Jones treatment and you just kind of get him out of here? Or does he at least finish his rookie deal?
Yeah. That's what I think, you know, when we're talking about you know what he is now, it's not working for either side. You know, maybe send him to Arizona or someplace closer to home. He moved here in high school from, wasn't Turks and Caicos, from the Caribbean.
Yep.
Lived with his grandmother in Chandler, Arizona. Went to Arizona State. I think when you really look at it objectively, yes, it's great to have the talent that he has, but it's got to be difficult emotionally for him in some ways, and maybe this just isn't the best fit for him. So that's where I get into the sympathy. Look, I makes me want to bang my head off the wall too when I watch him get a hold or something else, but at some point too, you have to look at the human side of it and say, okay, well, you know what I mean? Am I being a softie?
No.
Yeah, you're a little soft.
You know, it's the holiday season. You're probably, you know, seeing the kids. True. You're getting a little nostalgic for everything.
Had a tough year for everybody.
Yeah, you probably caught a Hallmark movie by accident the other night when you were burying a couple of steak and cheeses. Like, I get it, Tom. We all have real feels. These things happen. They're people, too. The fact remains, though, he stinks on rye.
And no, he stinks. He stinks. He should be on the football field.
Yeah, no, he really.
I mean, Dante Moncrief would be preferable. And I wonder sometimes Nikhil Harry looks in the mirror and says, I wish they'd just use Dante instead of me.
Yeah, but I will ask, do you think if there's a chance they move on to another quarterback next year, let's say it's, who knows, whether it's Jimmy, if it's a rookie, if it's anybody but Cam, who's a more of a pure passer, and can throw the shorter to intermediate passes better, they'll take one more look-see, not just in training camp, but in a couple of legitimate games before they, before they put the envelope or the pink slip in his locker?
Yeah, I think that you go through training camp. You go through the offseason, a normal offseason, which I'm guessing, and hell, it's obviously a guess for any of us. I'm guessing that maybe by March you can think about having a normal offseason with mini camps and training camp, passing camp. And then you go into training camp, and if he's showing up and there every day and stacking days, and you do it again, you run him back. And if not, and if he's out and if he's hurt, and if when he's out there he has a good day, then a bad day, then you say, you know what, it's the same movie. So, but I don't think it would happen between now and the end of the year or between now and the end of next year's training camp. I could be mistaken.
Do we expect to see Sony Michel carry or receive the football this weekend?
I would think so. You know, they're going to have to. You know, Damian Harris got bottled up pretty well the other day, and that's not really his own fault. I think that the scheme that teams are going to employ will just be, go ahead, beat us. Mm-hmm. Throw it over our heads. Have a day. We're going to put six guys. We're going to play a 6-1 defense. So at some point, I think you want to change hands a little bit. Just to give Damian Harris a chance to look at it. I think that it benefits sometimes a guy looking at it. Damian Harris has been terrific. I would say A- at the worst. But Sony Michel is an asset as well, and he's not in the same boat as Nikhil Harry. Give him some reps. I think still you don't – I'm not saying 15, but 3 to 5.
Sure. Who has a better chance, Tom, of being on the Patriots next season, Cam Newton or Stephon Gilmore?
Cam Newton.
Yeah, I think so too.
Cam Newton.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
So that's it? That's it for Gilly Lock, fairly well?
He's not going to want to come back for the salary that he's on the books for.
Right.
And that's $7 million. You got Darius Slay, Jalen Ramsey, guys, Byron Jones, guys who are making upwards of $20 million a year at the position now. And Gilmore, even though he's had some tepid games, he won against DeAndre Hopkins for the most part the other day. He's still at 30, pretty much in his prime. the Patriots, you know, they have a presumed answer there in J.C. Jackson. They'll have to make a decision on Jason McCourty. Jonathan Jones and J.C. Jackson at the two corners means you're awful small. But if Juwan Williams can show anything, and I don't know if he can, it's kind of late in the game for 2020 to see it from him, and you'll have to make a decision on Gilmore probably, you know, soon before free agency, then you have to make a determination whether or not you want to have that money in there to him. And I think that he's going to act to get the raise that he feels he is worthy of, which means hold out, lobby for it. I don't know. So that to me is the reasoning, which I think we've had indications, despite the puff and shine that Bill and Steph have put on it since he returned, that they'll be moving on. To me, more than anything else, it's the siphoning from next year, and bumping him up this year with salary.
Right.
Well, we're not going to do this next year, but here, this year, take it, come back, play, and then best of luck.
Audition for your next contract. Tom, as much as I would love to sing the praises and get your take on the heroics of my guy Big Kick Nick and his 250-plus yard game winners, huh? They're putting him in the Patriots Hall of Fame. He's been pretty great. I know you also keep tabs on the artist formerly known as TB12 and how things are going down in Tampa. What team do you think we're going to see? What version of the Buccaneers do you think we're going to see as they emerge from their surprisingly perfectly timed bye week down there in Tampa Bay?
I think they're going to come back really sharp. You know, when we watched that game the other night against Kansas City, Brady wasn't lying when he said they were close. And I talked to Rick Stroud at length from the Tampa Bay Times for Quick Slants and for our podcast. And, you know, his teammates aren't getting pissed. And I almost thought that some of these guys might be like, this is not working. He's not getting me the ball. It's too strenuous. But they're with him. And I thought that, you know, Brady still gives you a chance, even against Kansas City late. And he had the two bad picks. But I think that those things are going to be rectified. And I think that you're still, if you're in the NFC, that you're whistling past the graveyard if you think that this is as good as Tampa Bay is going to be.
Tom, I wanted to officially thank you for participating in our K-Cancer card campaign yesterday. You and a number of other people participated in as well. And I just wanted to let you know that I just got word within the last couple of minutes, we are officially over $1.5 million.
Wow.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Wow. Congratulations to the station. Congratulations to every one of the shows and hosts and listeners who have, over the years and this year in particular, made the donations that they have. You guys do an incredible job. And as I said in the tweet that I sent out, sadly, there will be nobody who is untouched by cancer. And thank God that we have the opportunity to do something active to combat it and help the people who fight it.